Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the February 22nd, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been working a little bit on the websites, also working on a couple of ideas with the Tangerine SDR. And have been talking up the stuff that we talked about last week. So that's about it for me. Next on the list, we have Greg ZL3IX, shown as Mike Muted. And then we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as Away and Recording. And then we have Mike AAAK, shown as Recording and Mike Muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, y'all. Not a lot to report this week. Unfortunately, Dave, I didn't get around to packaging the new PIN requirements for the new processor for Minerva, but I'll try and do it over this weekend if you're still prepared to give it a go. And be interested to see what the results of your discussions regarding SATA were with the Tangerine guys. Apart from that, I'm suffering some very hot weather at the moment. Not an awful lot to report. Back to you, Dave.
Yes, and my one victory on that point was I did get Quartus downloaded and installed the web version. So hopefully that's going to be a helpful piece of software. Maybe I need to install a different version. Anyway, next on the list we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Dave and all. Yeah, nothing really to report here. The busy work week, and unfortunately been tagged with a cold all week, which has really slowed things down. But yeah, no radio fun, unfortunately. So back to you.
Well, sorry to hear that, but hope you get better. Next on the list is Bob, VE3GKM, shown as Recording and Away, and that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
Yes, thanks, Dave. Do you know what version of the Quartus you downloaded? I'll make sure I get the same one.
I downloaded 15, which is the last web-based one. I can't tell if the there's a Pro Lite, and I can't tell if that's free or if it's like a short-term trial and then they charge you for it.
Okay. I need to check some emails in a moment, but I'll get back to you on that one. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll send you the Minerva Project QAR file, and then I'll send you the Max 10 device we're going to use, and probably best once you've got those and got those loaded, talk you through. I can probably run the code here at the same time as you are, your end, and we can work through it together.
Okay, that sounds good, and I'll look forward to that.
Just need to check some emails. I think Doug has done some work on the Max 10, and I think he said that the Pro Lite, I think the Pro version supports the new Max 10, and I think it allows you to do incremental compiles, which would be absolutely fantastic after hours and hours of waiting for things to compile. So I'll just check that while you're talking.
Yes, and I do know the version I downloaded would support Max 10 as well as Cyclone 5 and Cyclone 4. And I thought that might be a useful compromise for the things that I'm involved in.
Okay. Well, if the version 15 will support the Max 10, then that's fine. That'll do. Yeah, the Pro version. I'm just checking from Doug. We're using the 10 Max 10 GX, which has got the PCIe connections on it, and the Pro version was free to use with it, and it does allow you to do incremental compiles, which is great news.
So which is that up to 19 or higher than that?
I'm just checking there just a moment. Okay, what I might do is there's quite a lot of stuff here from Doug regarding using the pro version and how you install and run existing Cyclone 4 or 3 or 4 projects. So I'll forward that to you, Dave. But if 15 will work and you can use the 10GX with it, then we're only going to use it at the moment just to do a quick compile and then change the pin. So they're not necessarily need to make any changes. We just use the current QAR files. So, okay, I'll have a look at that over the weekend anyway. I'll send this to you.
Yes, during the week I had a discussion with Dave Whitten here, and he was suspecting it was one of the G models of Max 10 that we would be using. And he's quite interested in all this, but unfortunately he's on a trip to the great state of Texas this week. Bill, it's not in your town.
I was going to say, did you know what part of the great state he's headed for?
He's in Dallas this week.
Ah, a couple miles up the road.
Just a few.
Which quarters are you using, Dave?
I'm using 15, which is a web version. It's the last of the web versions.
Oh, so it's not Quartus Prime. Quartus 2 Web Edition.
It was not clear from what I was doing if Pro or Pro Lite was a free download or not.
No, I was just looking at Quartus Prime, and they wanted, for the standard edition, the Pro edition, they wanted money. They wanted like 3 digits worth of money.
Yes.
I just send you this email from Doug, and he does say the Pro version is free for use with the 10GX, and it does support incremental compile. And there's questions you have to respond to when you do that. But look, if 15 will work with the particular FPGA we're going to use, which I'll add to this email before I send it just to check, Ben, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll start with that, and then as we get to, if we get to the point of compiling, then we can change versions.
Okay, I've sent you the, Doug also sent you the 10GX part number we'll be using, Dave.
Very good, thank you.
So from memory, what you do is you compile, or you load the code into Quartus, which I'll send you, in fact I can probably do it shortly, then compile it, and then you say I want to change the processor. It'll ask you if you want to remove all the pin connections, which is, you know, really a good idea because they're not going to match otherwise, but you say yes, and then you reallocate the pins. So let me see if we can do that now.
I did get your email, although my software flagged it and put it in a wait folder.
I'll send you a copy of the schematic as well, Dave, because that could help you identifying what the pins are.
Very good.
Okay, Dave, I noticed I'm using Quartus version 17 to do for the last compile I did a Minerva.
Okay, do you want to switch to that?
Well, I know it runs and compiles in there, so it probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Okay, well, I have no problem. Now that I've figured out how to do the downloads, that shouldn't be a problem.
So you're using the light edition of these things?
Yeah, the free versions, yeah.
Okay. My love of Intel continues to wane. They also have no Mac support.
Yes. I was confused for a minute what you were talking about, MAC instead of MAX.
Oh, I see. Now I'm surprised they have Linux but not Mac. At least all the programmer types I know moved to Mac. Although I guess these are hardware programmer types.
Yep. Yeah, it's the bit banging.
Yeah, I just uploaded the project. In fact, I'm using version 17.1 Lite, and the IP files are all different. So let me do an upgrade for that now, so that we're both using the same version of Quartus, and we've both got the IP packages are the same. I'll just do that now. Hopefully it won't take too long.
Well, I'm downloading the 17.1 Lite.
Great, thanks. Is 17.1 the latest version, though?
Not sure. I think it's up to 19.
I think I saw 19.4.
Yeah, it's just uploading the PCIe phase lock loops and analog digital converter FIFOs. So we're 60% through. So it shouldn't be too much longer though. While we're waiting, Dave, did you manage to talk about the possibility of using SATA for the interface?
Yes. Well, with Dave Witten, I did talk about that. Scotty, I was spending time talking about, he was talking about several things, but we were talking about he's had some problems that his layout guy says that there aren't enough square centimeters on the demo boards for him to fit all the parts. So at some point he has to expand the size of the board to fit everything on there. So he was telling us about that. He was very worried about the thing. He's going to have two, each RF board will have a transmit and a receive. And he was worried about the phasing between the two boards, which is a concern. But then Tom McDermott pointed out, well, it's not configured that way. It's not just the phasing between the two receivers, but it's also the feed line links and the kinds of antennas you have and all that kind of. And so we were discussing ways to build a calibration setup, and I thought, well, you know, some of the stuff that Phil did with the chirp across Australia seems to be suitable for testing the phasing of two receivers. And I'm not sure if that's correct, but I offered that idea.
Okay, well, what we do with Thetis, because that's the last I worked on, is that first of all, we feed both digital down converters from the same ADC. And then if you set the amplitude of the two down converted channels to be identical and the phase to be exactly 180 degrees, then you get absolutely perfect cancellation. I mean, I'm talking like 180 dBs down. So that's the simplest way to do it. So, and then if you don't get it perfectly with perfect cancellation with, you know, amplitude modification factor of 1.0 and a phase of 180 degrees, then since it'll be fixed in your layout, you can just compensate for that in software and apply the values that, let's say, it's, I don't be up by a degree, but let's say it's to get perfect cancellation, you use 181 degrees, then you add 1 degree to whatever the user selects. And then when you go through the ADCs, so each down converter has its own ADC connected, all I simply do is made up a harness with a pair of a BNC T-piece and then two equal lengths of coax going to the inputs on the board, and feed the center of the T-piece from the signal generator, and then check again that with amplitude 1 and a phasing of minus 180 degree or 180 degree phase shift, and you get maximum cancellation. And we do. So it's very, very simple to calibrate it if it's in software, if you need to correct for it, Dave.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And the only other thing they were worried about is some of the astronomers wanted very strict noise, spurious noise criteria. And it sounded hard. We finally got some feedback from them, and they said, whatever we come up with is okay because we're at or above any of the other people that are building boards at the time.
Oh, very good. Okay. I was pleasantly surprised when we, with Thetis, the the phasing of the two receivers. And one of the jobs I had to do, one of the problems I had was that with Thetis, you can set the sampling rate of each of the digital down converters independently. So you could have one down converter going at 1.5 megs and the other going at 48 kilohertz. And then when you reconfigure to be diversity, obviously both receivers have to be sampling at exactly the same sample rate. So you, when you click the diversity button, you have to reset all the digital down converters, all the Cortex, the whole works. And I was a bit concerned about how that might work, but it actually worked absolutely fine. But initially, I didn't down convert everything. I didn't reset the Cortex, which in retrospect is absolutely obvious because that's where the phase shift's going to be. But I eventually found that if I reset the Cortex, then everything else stepped into line. All the fear filter, etc., they all propagated the right phase. So it was actually a very simple process. But if you're going to have, I'd imagine you will, your receivers will be able to run different sampling rates. Just bear in mind when you switch into diversity mode, they all have to run at the same cycling rate. So, and make sure you reset everything before you attempt to do phase matching.
Okay, well that makes sense, and it follows along the lines of where. So essentially, we're in a space that's similar, although they want to cover. I'm not sure exactly where we're going to come down in terms of how much bandwidth we'll be able to look at. But all of us have been involved in some sort with the Open HPSDR, so that influences the thinking that goes behind the design. And Tom McDermott is really the person who's controlling the ultimate design right at this point.
Okay, well, this is all running. I'm just about to do a I won't do a compile because I need the rest of the day probably. I'm just trying to think where it's changed. The layout for 17 is different from the versions I've been using. I'm just trying to find out where you actually assign the used to be a little check button along the top of the screen where you assign the processor. I was actually going to try and do that now. But it may be better if I send you this. I think I'll send you this as it is, Dave. And you can see the, you just click on the pin planner, which is the little icon with a number on it. And you can see exactly how the current pins are assigned and what IO standard they are. So, for example, all the differential pairs are LVDS, and you can see there are adjacent pins, etc. So rather than actually change to the new processor, which I can probably might do that after I've sent this file, let me send you the project file to you now anyway.
Okay, and I'm about halfway through the download, so I've got a little ways. Well, yeah, about halfway.
Okay, I just shut everything down and reloaded the Minerva QAR, and it all loads okay in 17.1, so hopefully that'll be okay, Dave.
Okay, we'll give it a try. I haven't gotten your second email yet, so I'm assuming you haven't sent it.
No, I just wanted to check it would load okay before I sent it. That's it.
Bill, I wanted to tell you, thank you for the link to the Hackaday article.
Got to get back to the right console. Yeah, run into those every now and then. Nice it had a couple of references to HPSDR and see some concern out there for open source in the amateur space.
Yep. I've seen some references to folks that are digging out their old Atlas sets and firing up again after some time. It's interesting. And they have questions about how to set them up. The problem is, I have mine set up, but I haven't changed it a lot in several years.
It might be me one of these days.
I actually use my Atlas as my prime rig because it's the only one that I know hasn't been touched and it still works.
Well, is that the one that we have a picture of as the first setup?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, I'm still using a Penelope in it.
Very good. And you use your what was it, a CCI amp with it?
SPI amp, yeah. SP.
Oh,
SPI. SPE, yeah. SPS, yeah. Expert 1K, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one you wrote an article about, right?
No, I don't think so. Okay, I'm just looking at how you change the device, but I didn't download the Max-10 device family in this version of Quartus, so I can't do that other way. But let me just reverse about how you do it, just a second. Yeah, so you just click assignments at the top, and then device, and then you can select the device family, and then from the checklist you can choose the particular variant of Max 10 you want to use, though. I might actually just try and remember how the device support list. Have a look at that. Hang on. Okay, I've sent you the schematic and the project file, though.
Okay, very good. I did get my download, and I did want to let both you and Bill know that I need to go to a banquet next Friday night. One of my former students got Forest Conservationist of the Year for our state, and I think I need to be there at his award presentation.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Yeah, sure. No problems at all. Yeah. If you need to talk about this, you know, out of off this discussion, just drop me an email and I'll get back to you and we'll make a time on TeamSpeak if that's convenient, though.
That would work fine. So we can arrange that.
Well, just looking through 17.1, it looks like then you can just, if you run the just load the QAR file I sent you, that should all load okay. And then once you've done that, select the different device from the Max 10. It'll ask you to remove all the... actually, what I do is just make a note of the pin assignments that's on the current Cyclone 5, so you get an idea of what input is assigned to. There's some of the PCIe signals are special, different types of levels, which I've never used before. But and then all the LVDS ones, where they go. Now, in this design, we're only using one analog-digital converter and one digital-analog converter, but in the next version of the product, we will use the dual ADC. So we'll need to allocate some more pins. But anyway, let's get you up and running. At least you can assign pins to devices, and then we'll take it from there.
I should be able to get to this quite soon, you know, not tonight, but in the next few days.
Okay, well, I work from my home office now, so just drop me an email when you want to chat and we'll take it away.
Sounds good.
Okay, well, I'm off to work, so I'll say 7-3s to everybody, and thanks for your assistance with this, Dave. Much appreciated, and catch up with you during the week. 7-3s all.
73, yes, it sounds like a fun learning project, so I'm all in.
73, Phil, have a good week, and enjoy the banquet Friday, Dave.